Hello, and welcome to Entertainment Weekly. I'm volunteer Diane Salisbury on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Every week, I get to read from Entertainment Weekly's website, which is EW.com. I have a must list. I don't have any movie reviews, but I have some sidebar articles to go with a latest movie and a mix of things, as I like to say. So let's get started with the must list. A Frankenstein with Daddy Issues, more Squid Game, The Challenge, and Rosalia's new album top this week's must list. Tommy Dorfman's I Wish You All the Best and Broadway's Little Bear Ridge Road round out our picks for the weekend. This is by the Entertainment Weekly staff. While in Georgia last week for Savannah College of Art and Design's SCAD, Savannah Film Festival, I had the chance to attend a small dinner with Frankenstein star Oscar Isaac. He's fantastic in the film, but even more engaging in person. Over a few hours of cocktails and oysters in the basement cellar of The Grey, we chatted about Shakespeare, the current state of arts criticism, and our favorite musicals. They say, don't meet your heroes, but if you get a chance to meet Oscar Isaac, definitely do it. That was Patrick Gomez, editor-in-chief. First on our must list is Frankenstein. Mary Shelley's classic has been adapted countless times, but you better believe Guillermo del Toro's take on the Gothic tale, fulfilling a lifelong dream of his, is unlike all the others. The Oscar-winning directors Victor Frankenstein and the creature, played by Oscar Isaac, and a prosthetic-covered Jacob Elordi, respectively, are the center of a father and son story, one of disappointment, abuse, cycles of behavior, pain, regret, and, unlike Shelley's, forgiveness. These two have some real daddy issues. Streaming it on Netflix is great for repeat viewings, but if it's still playing on a big screen near you, see it there. Squid Game, The Challenge is next. Who knew a simple game of catch could be so gripping? Netflix's reality version of the Korean drama is back for season 2 with some new competitions. Plus, there's plenty of new heroes and villains to root for and against. I Wish You All the Best. Tommy Dorfman's directorial debut is a heartfelt coming-of-age story about a non-binary teenager. Star Corey Fogelmanis shines as Ben in this deeply moving film, which weaves together the pain of parental rejection with the transformative joy of discovering who you are. Rosalia's Lux. 3 years after her global breakthrough, Motomami, the Spanish phenom has thrown us a total curveball. Each track on her new album, an orchestral opus sung in 14 languages, is inspired by a female saint. Every one of them is heavenly. And our last item on the list is Little Bear Ridge Road. 2-time Tony winner Laurie Metcalf commands the Broadway stage in this dark, and at times deeply funny, play that takes place on a couch in a void and explores dysfunctional family bonds between a caustic aunt and her disillusioned nephew, played by the also excellent Micah Stock. That's our must list this week, A Frankenstein with Daddy Issues, more Squid Game, The Challenge, and Rosalia's new album top this week's list. It was by the Entertainment Weekly staff. As a sidebar article to Frankenstein, I have Guillermo del Toro gets personal about how his father's kidnapping shaped Frankenstein. A grudge takes two prisoners. The Oscar-winning filmmaker explains how grateful he is to have waited to make Frankenstein until after he had a significant conversation with his dad. This is by Nick Romano. For Oscar winner Guillermo del Toro, Frankenstein is about three core elements. The first two were always part of the filmmaker's vision for this distinct take on the classic Mary Shelley's Gothic tale, pain and regret. The third is forgiveness, something he says he only included in the movie after having an important conversation with his father, Federico del Toro. My father was kidnapped in 98, and when he came back, he didn't talk about it, del Toro shares in an interview with Entertainment Weekly at the Toronto International Film Festival. And then, before he passed, I said, "We have to sit down and you gotta tell me what happened." That was very important for me to understand the man. The movie for del Toro is not about forgiving someone in a simplistic sense. It's about forgiving someone and forgiving yourself into being, he continues. What you realize is a grudge takes two prisoners and forgiveness liberates two people. I thought I could make the movie, but then I went, no. Thank God it didn't happen until now. Frankenstein is a piece about fathers and sons. Oscar Isaac stars as Victor Frankenstein, the famed scientist of classical literature who brings a creature, played by Jacob Elordi, to life through a monstrous experiment. Joining the duo in the cast are Mia Goth as Elizabeth, fiancé to Victor's younger brother, played by Felix Kammerer, David Bradley as the old blind man, Charles Dance as Victor's father, Christian Convery as young Victor, and Christoph Waltz as arms merchant Harlander. Speaking more broadly, del Toro says Federico's kidnapping had a tremendous impact on his work at large. When somebody's taken, the family is taken, he explains. Both sides are paralyzed. I told him our side, and he told me his side. As a parallel, Frankenstein deals with the two perspectives of Dr. Frankenstein and his creature. The director originally wanted to make two movies, one for each perspective, but he ultimately decided to merge both tales into one. Every time you have drama on film is great, del Toro continues. Every time you have drama in your life, it's coming from a false understanding of life. Either you think you deserve more, or you don't deserve this. And the word deserve has nothing to do with living, it just is, and the movie tries to show those things. The father-son relationship was a big topic of conversation when Isaac first met with del Toro, though the actor didn't initially understand what he was in the running for. When we first find Victor, he is this ragged man at the end of the Arctic, Isaac previously told Entertainment Weekly. He is terrified. He's running. You don't know if he's running away or running through something or what's going on. As Victor tells his tale, he begins with his father and his own creation. How was I created? How was this person created? And if I'm going to tell you about this horrible secret that I have, I must tell you how it got there. And that's with my own father. Netflix held Frankenstein's world premiere at the Venice Film Festival in August, and now it's hit also the Toronto International Film Festival. The film first opened in select theaters on October 17th and was followed by a release on Netflix November 7th. This had additional reporting by Jared Hall. That was Guillermo del Toro gets personal about how his father's kidnapping shaped Frankenstein. A grudge takes two prisoners. That was by Nick Romano. Here are the best and worst moments from Wicked, One Wonderful Night with Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. NBC took viewers back to Oz for a primetime TV special celebrating Wicked. This is by Jillian Setterholm. Most of the main cast of Wicked and the upcoming sequel, Wicked for Good, assembled for a soaring 2-hour musical special that aired Thursday night on NBC. Wicked, One Wonderful Night, featured performances by Cynthia Erivo, who we know as Elphaba, Ariana Grande, who is Glinda, Michelle Yeoh, who is Madame Morrible, Jeff Goldblum, who plays the wizard, Bowen Yang, who plays Fanny, Marissa Bode, who plays Nessa Rose, and Ethan Slater, who plays Bach. The thrillifying celebration of all things Oz boasted reimagined musical montages from the movie, accompanied by a 37-piece live orchestra led by the award-winning musical director Stephen Oremus, highlight reels featuring the cast and fans, and a sneak preview of footage from Wicked for Good, including two new songs written by legendary composer and lyricist Stephen Swartz for Arrivo and Grande. We're going to read on for their list of most memorable moments from Wicked, One Wonderful Night, and a couple things they would have changed for the better. The first of nine is a best, a popular recast. Although it's always fun to see Grande and Arrivo together, watching the pop stars Galinda giving her frank analysis to an adorable young Elphaba stand-in, a four-year-old boy named Remington, was a pure joy. The cuteness overload was even too much for Grande, who collapsed in delight as her new pal Remy agreed to join her from the audience, and then she broke into giggles more than once while singing to her cutie patootie co-star. Popular indeed. Another best is Michelle Yeoh, Everywhere, All at Once. We're always happy to see Yeoh, and even happier, the special found plenty of ways to include the Oscar winner, who had multiple costume changes throughout the night, and even vogued in one number. Another best, We Have Been Changed for Good. At the halfway point into the special, we got a delightful segment filmed at the Gershwin Theater in New York City, home of the original Broadway production of Wicked. It began with Schwartz playing a special arrangement of For Good on the piano as Grande and Arrivo sang. Grande became overcome with emotion, wiping away tears as Arrivo sang to her, "Who can say if I've been changed for the better, but because I knew you, I have been changed for good." If that wasn't enchanting enough, they were then joined by their original Broadway counterparts, Kristen Chenoweth, who played Galinda, and Idina Menzel, who played Elphaba. Here's a worst, an unsexy lack of Jonathan Bailey. Bridgerton star and People's newest sexiest man alive, Jonathan Bailey, wasn't able to make it to the taping of the TV special in Los Angeles due to a scheduling conflict. Although he appeared briefly in a pre-taped package featuring the cast sharing moments of filming, Bailey and Prince Fierro were greatly missed on stage. His absence, however, offered Yang, Slater, and Bode a moment to shine as they hilariously competed for lead Fierro understudy in Dancing Through Life. Here's a best, live from Oz, it's Bowen Yang! Although the Saturday Night Live star doesn't have the largest role in Wicked, the primetime special made sure to take full advantage of Yang's charisma and impeccable comedy chops, especially playing off the live theater audience, as he's used to each week at his day job. It was a highlight to see Yang pop up at various moments of the special as comic relief, especially stealing the show through the Dancing Through Life performance in place of Bailey. Here's a worst, fake auditions and other filler. Several clip packages were interspersed with the performances throughout the special. Some offered a nice glimpse at cast dynamics, like when the co-stars shared memories of filming intense scenes or Grande meeting Goldblum as a child, while most fell flat and like filler when we'd much rather see them all performing or interacting on stage together instead. One particularly bad moment came when director John M. Chu took the stage to introduce some never-before-seen auditions from actors who didn't get the part. Instead of the real audition of Amanda Seyfried as Galinda or Yang's SNL pals contributing a sketch of parody auditions, it was a reel of random celebs like Ludacris, Heidi Klum, and Khloe Kardashian joking about auditioning, but with no real payoff to the bit. Another best, Cynthia Erivo defies gravity. Arrivo trusted her instincts as she closed her eyes and leaped, soaring over the mesmerized audience during a show-stopping performance of Defying Gravity. Flying even higher than her body was Arrivo's powerhouse vocals that brought down the house every time she took the stage. Another best, Icons Honoring Icons. Grande and Arrivo embodied queen icons of yesteryear as they beautifully harmonized their own rendition of Wizard of Oz star Judy Garland and Barbara Streisand's groundbreaking duet melody of Happy Days Are Here Again and Get Happy from a 1963 episode of The Judy Garland Show. The actresses shared a warm embrace at the end that really hit a high note. And we're ending on the worst, no full cast number. Given the impressive number of cast members who did appear, it was a bit disappointing to not have them fill the stage at the same time for a group number. It would have been nice for all the co-stars to come out sooner to join on the final notes of Grande and Arrivo's duet. Heck, we would have settled for a quick sing-along of We're Off to See the Wizard. Following its Thursday premiere on NBC, Wicked, One Wonderful Night will stream on Peacock beginning Friday, and Wicked for Good hits theaters on November 21st. That was Best and Worst Moments from Wicked, One Wonderful Night with Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. Here's everything to know about the controversial Michael Jackson biopic and what Paris Jackson thinks of it. Jafar Jackson, Michael's nephew, leads the cast alongside Coleman Domingo and Miles Teller. This is by Randall Colburn. And there are some key bullet points that started out. It says, following years of development and production, Antoine Fuqua's Michael Jackson biopic is arriving in April 2026. Jafar Jackson, Michael's nephew, stars as the pop icon alongside Coleman Domingo, Miles Teller, and Nia Long. And several controversies have circled the production, including criticism from Paris Jackson. So here's the story. Michael, an upcoming biopic about pop icon Michael Jackson, promises to unleash the man in the mirror. The film's roots date back to 2019 when producer Graham King, an architect of the Oscar-winning Freddie Mercury biopic Bohemian Rhapsody, announced his intentions to bring Jackson's story to the big screen. The project has secured several high-profile artists, from A-listers like Coleman Domingo and Miles Teller to director Antoine Fuqua and Oscar-nominated screenwriter John Logan. But Michael has also hit several roadblocks, with the King of Pop's past legal troubles haunting the production and Jackson's daughter, Paris, decrying its depiction of her late father, who died in 2009 from acute propofol intoxication. Here's everything we know about the Michael Jackson biopic, from its release date and cast to the controversies that have plagued its production. What is Michael about? Michael aims to deliver a life-spanning portrait of the icon, tracing his journey from the discovery of his extraordinary talent as the lead of the Jackson 5 to the visionary artist whose creative ambition fueled a relentless pursuit to become the biggest entertainer in the world. The official logline continues, highlighting both his life off stage and some of the most iconic performances from his early solo career. The film gives audiences a front row seat to Michael Jackson as never before. This is where his story begins. A previous synopsis called the project a riveting and honest portrayal of the brilliant and complicated man who became known as worldwide as the King of Pop, promising a peek at the artist's triumphs and tragedies on an epic cinematic scale. Playing Michael is the singer's real-life nephew, Jafar Jackson, the son of former Jackson 5 member Jermaine Jackson. Speaking at Las Vegas's CinemaCon in April 2024, King spoke about what drew him to the project. The filmmaking stories that I've always gravitated to have characters that are multidimensional and where there are elements of drama, intrigue, conflict, emotional stakes, he said. Then I try and find the untold version of the story and try and set it from a perspective that hopefully gives the audience something new to take away creatively. As you can only imagine, Michael Jackson ticks all those boxes. He also briefly acknowledged the numerous controversies surrounding Jackson, including multiple allegations of child sex abuse, which the Jackson estate has deemed absolutely false. Michael was an enigma, full of eccentricity, electrifying talent, arguably the most famous entertainer ever to cross the planet, King continued. And yet, behind the unrelenting scrutiny and the accusations in the grinding media spotlight, he was simply a man who lived a very complicated life. The movie will get into all of it, including over 30 songs, recreating some of the most iconic performances on stage, as well as his life out of the public eye. Is there a Michael trailer? Yes! The first teaser trailer for Michael arrived in November 2025. I know you've been waiting a long time for this, intones a record producer in the opening moments, a sly nod at the film's long road to production. The minute-long teaser is heavy on performance footage, with Jafar Jackson adopting the famous outfits and dance moves that made his uncle famous. Most notable, a shot of the young performer in the zombie makeup from Michael's beloved and still freaky Thriller music video. And that minute-long teaser is linked in this article. Who's in the cast of Michael? Jafar Jackson, the pop star's real-life nephew, leads the cast as Michael. This will be Jafar's screen acting debut, though the young artist is a singer and dancer in his own right. As of this writing, the video for his 2019 single, Got Me Singing, has nearly 10 million views on YouTube. It's uncanny how much he's like Michael, Fuqua previously told Entertainment Weekly. Sounds like him, dances like him, sings. It's really uncanny. Graham King, who is a fantastic producer, found him and introduced him to me, and I was blown away. If you don't believe him, just take a look at the picture. Two-time Oscar nominee Colman Domingo, who won an Emmy for his turn on HBO's Euphoria, that's been playing since 2009, plays Michael's father, Joe Jackson, a controversial figure in his own right. I wanted to take it on because I know that there's many public opinions about Joe Jackson that are in conflict of what maybe family members or people who knew him think or believe. And even that is very complicated, the actor told Entertainment Weekly in February of 2024. I want to figure him out and find out what made him tick. How did he create these magnificent artists, these world-acclaimed artists? Because it was a lot through Joe and what Joe did and his impact, whether good, bad, or ugly, I'm not sure. Miles Teller, acclaimed for his turns in Whiplash in 2014 and Top Gun Maverick in 2022, co-stars as John Branca, Michael's lawyer and manager. Nia Long, from The Best Man, appears as Michael's mother, Catherine, while Lorenz Tate, from Power, features as music producer Barry Gordy, who worked closely with the Jackson 5. Many of Michael's famous contemporaries will also appear in the film. Kat Graham from The Vampire Diaries will notably appear as Diana Ross, the Queen of Motown. Audiences will also see Liv Simone from Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, as Gladys Knight, Kevin Shinnick from Robot Chicken as Dick Clark, and Kendrick Sampson from Insecure as Quincy Jones. What are the Michael Jackson biopic controversies? Michael's complicated legacy and numerous allegations of child sex abuse have been raised by many critics since the film was announced. In 2003, the singer was arrested and charged with child molestation. He was acquitted of all charges in 2005 following a trial that spanned nearly 4 months. Foremost among the film's critics is Dan Reed, the filmmaker behind the 2019 documentary Leaving Neverland, which unpacks the allegations of two men who claim Michael sexually molested them as children. After reading a draft of the script, Reed condemned the project as a complete whitewash of Michael's life. It's an out-and-out attempt to completely rewrite the allegations and dismiss them out of hand and contains complete lies, Reed told The Times of London in March 2024. You never, ever see him alone with any boys, when it is a matter of fact that he shared his bed with small children for many years. Fuqua, Michael's director, previously told Entertainment Weekly that his goal was to tell the facts as we know it, about the artist, about the man, about the human being. The film has the backing of the Jackson estate. Early in 2025, the production allegedly hit a legal roadblock due to a clause in a settlement made with one of Jackson's former accusers, Jordan Chandler. In 1993, Chandler accused Michael of sexually abusing him when he was 13 years old, leading to a settlement with the musician for a reported $25 million. In a January 2025 report from Puck, which cited multiple sources, the settlement reportedly states that the Chandlers are not to be mentioned or dramatized in any film about Michael. This was overlooked prior to production. Puck declared this to be a nightmare scenario for the production, as Chandler was reportedly a key figure in Logan's script. The result, per the outlet, was heavy rewrites and reshoots. A source close to the production disputed this characterization to People. The Michael Jackson biopic is not in total chaos, they said. The inflammatory headlines about the movie halting are simply not true. The film is moving forward, and reshoots are happening in March. Spokespersons for Lionsgate, King, and the attorney who represents the Jackson estate did not respond to Entertainment Weekly's request for comment. What has Paris Jackson said about Michael? Paris Jackson, Michael's daughter with his second wife, Debbie Rowe, has voiced criticism of the project, saying the draft of the script she read was dishonest and filled with inaccuracies. According to an Instagram story shared by Paris in September 2025, she offered feedback on an early draft of the script and was told that production was not actually going to address her notes. Since then, she said she has not been involved. She did, however, warn fans not to expect an honest portrayal of her dad's life. A big reason why I haven't said anything up to this point is because I know a lot of you guys are gonna be happy with it, she said. A big section of the film panders to a very specific section of my dad's fandom that still lives in the fantasy, and they're gonna be happy with it. She continued, citing the glut of musical biopics in recent years, the thing about these biopics is, it's Hollywood. It's fantasy land, it's not real. But it's sold to you as real, she said. The narrative is being controlled, and there's a lot of inaccuracy, and there's a lot of just full-blown lies. At the end of the day, that doesn't really fly with me. When does Michael come out? Michael is slated to arrive in theaters on April 24th, 2026. That was everything to know about the controversial Michael Jackson biopic and what Paris Jackson thinks of it. And it was by Randall Colburn. We're about halfway through the show already, so I am going to mention that you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Entertainment Weekly, and I'm reading from their website, which is EW.com. So, our next article, Meet the Beatles Again. See the biopics cast side by side with the real people they play. Paul Mescal, Harris Dickinson, Joseph Quinn, and Barry Cowan will bring the legendary band to life on screen. This is by Allison DeGruche. And there are some key points here, too. Sam Mendes is bringing the Beatles back to the big screen with a four-part film series. Harrison Dickinson, Barry Cowan, Paul Mescal and Joseph Quinn will portray the legendary bandmates Anna Sawai, Mia McKenna-Bruce, Saoirse Ronan, and Amy Lou Wood round out the cast as the musicians' wives. In early 2024, Oscar-winning director Sam Mendes announced that he was teaming up with Sony Pictures to make not one, but four biopics about the Beatles. The ambitious project, dubbed The Beatles, a four-film cinematic event, is slated to hit theaters in April 2028. I'm honored to be telling the story of the greatest rock band of all time and excited to challenge the notion of what constitutes a trip to the movies, Mendes said in a statement. The initial cast was unveiled at CinemaCon 2025. Paul Mescal will star as Paul McCartney, Harris Dickinson will take on the role of John Lennon, Barry Keoghan will play Ringo Starr, and Joseph Quinn will portray George Harrison. On October 31st, Sony officially announced that Saoirse Ronan, Anna Sawai, Mia McKenna-Bruce, and Amy Lou Wood are joining the cast as Linda McCartney, Yoko Ono, Maureen Starkey, and Patty Boyd, respectively. We're going to read on for a side-by-side look at the stars and the real-life figures they'll bring to the screen. So Paul Mescal as Paul McCartney. Oscar-nominated star Paul Mescal is stepping into the shoes of Paul McCartney, the musical genius who wrote timeless hits like Hey Jude and Yesterday. Throughout his decades-long career, McCartney has earned numerous accolades and remains one of the best-selling artists of all time. Mescal first stole hearts on Hulu's romantic drama miniseries Normal People in 2020 and has since become a full-blown movie star. You might have seen him in Aftersun in 2022, All of Us Strangers in 2023, and Gladiator 2 last year. He also leads the upcoming film Hamnet. In a recent interview with IndieWire, Mescal revealed that he's linked up with McCartney. He's an extraordinary man, like to spend any time with. It's a crazy sentence to say that I've spent time with that man, let alone play him, he said of the musician. Harris Dickinson as John Lennon. Harris Dickinson will star as John Lennon, the late musician who was shot and killed outside his apartment on December 8, 1980. He left an incredible musical legacy in his wake. McCartney inducted him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo artist in 1994, and the 2009 biopic Nowhere Boy explored his early life. Dickinson, known for starring in Beach Rats, the Palme d'Or winner Triangle of Sadness, The Iron Claw, and Baby Girl that was out last year, also made his feature directorial debut with the acclaimed drama Urchin earlier this year. The actor recently told Radio Times that he feels really lucky to portray Lennon. It's such a unique experience to play someone of that caliber. I mean, it's intimidating, but it's enriching, he said. Joseph Quinn is George Harrison. Joseph Quinn will portray the Beatles guitar player George Harrison, who died of lung cancer on November 29, 2001. Known as the Quiet Beatle, Harrison wrote iconic songs such as Here Comes the Sun and While My Guitar Gently Weeps. The upcoming Beatles film event reunites Quinn and Mescal, who were on-screen enemies in Gladiator 2. Quinn is also known for his breakout role as Eddie Munson on Stranger Things, and for movies such as A Quiet Place, Day One, Warfare, and The Fantastic Four First Steps that was out this year. Barry Keoghan as Ringo Starr. Barry Keoghan will play Ringo Starr, the Beatles drummer. Starr joined the Fab Four in 1962, replacing Pete Best. He's responsible for some of the group's most whimsical songs, including Octopus's Garden. Starr has expressed support for the films, previously telling Entertainment Tonight that he thinks it's great to have Keoghan portray him. In July 2025, he also shared that he requested a few script changes tied to his relationship with his first wife, Maureen Starkey Tigret. Keoghan earned his first Oscar nomination for The Banshees of Inisherin, but he's also known for his roles in Dunkirk, Eternals, The Batman, and Saltburn. Since his casting, Kaugan has spoken about visiting Starr at his home. "I was nervous," the actor recalled, "but he's like, you can look at me." Saoirse Ronan is Linda McCartney. Four-time Oscar nominee Saoirse Ronan is taking on the role of Linda McCartney, a celebrated photographer and musician and the first wife of Paul McCartney. After the Beatles broke up, Linda and Paul formed Wings and performed together until 1981. She also spent her life advocating for animal rights and remained with Paul until her death from breast cancer in April 1998. The Beatles project reunites Ronan with Mescal, her on-screen husband in the 2023 sci-fi thriller Foe, and with Dickinson, her co-star in Blitz from 2024. Ronan first turned heads in the period drama Atonement and has since delivered acclaimed performances in Brooklyn, Lady Bird, Little Women, and The Outrun. Anna Sawai is Yoko Ono. Anna Sawai will play Yoko Ono, the Japanese artist, musician, and activist who first met Lennon at a London exhibition of her work. They married in 1969 and were inseparable until Lennon's assassination in 1980. Sawai initially gained fame as a member of the J-pop group Fakey and has since developed a successful acting career. She's best known for her roles on the TV shows Pachinko, that's been on the air since 2022, Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, that's been on the air since 2023, and Shogun, that's been on the air since 2024, the latter earning her a SAG Award, a Golden Globe, and a historic Emmy. Amy Lou Wood as Patty Boyd. Amy Lou Wood takes on the role of Patty Boyd, the model and photographer who crossed paths with Harrison on the set of the Beatles movie A Hard Day's Night. The couple married in 1966 and divorced 11 years later. Wood gained international fame with her acclaimed turn in the third season of The White Lotus, which earned her an Emmy nomination. Fans also know her for her BAFTA-winning turn as Amy Gibbs on Netflix's comedy series Sex Education, which ran from 2019 to 2023. Mia McKenna-Bruce as Maureen Starkey Tigret is the last person on our list here. Mia McKenna-Bruce will play Maureen Starkey Tigret, an early fan of the Beatles who married Starr in 1965. They later divorced in 1975. She died on December 30, 1994, from complications related to leukemia. McKenna-Bruce is best known for starring in the drama film How to Have Sex from 2023, for which she won the BAFTA Rising Star Award and a British Independent Film Award. She's also appeared in Persuasion and on shows such as Tracy Beaker Returns, The Dumping Ground, and Vampire Academy. The actress confirmed her casting on Instagram on October 31st, posting photos of Maureen with the caption, "Let's go Mo," heart-shape emoji. Where can I watch The Beatles, a four-film cinematic event? The Beatles, a four-film cinematic event, is set to hit theaters in April 2028. That was Meet the Beatles. Again, see the biopics cast side by side with the real people they play. And it was by Alison DeGroosh. Mariah Carey faces backlash over her 2025 It's Time Sephora ad. Here's why fans are upset. The singer's annual holiday clip is dividing fans this year. This is also by Alison DeGroosh. Mariah Carey's annual It's Time announcement may have backfired this year. On Saturday, November 1st, the Queen of Christmas, as is tradition, released a video signaling that the holiday season has officially begun. For years, the All I Want for Christmas Is You singer's festive countdown has been a balm for fans eager to dive into the festivities. Until now. This year, the announcement doubled as an ad for beauty retailer Sephora and reactions have been anything but cheerful. Here's everything you need to know about the backlash and why some Carrie fans aren't feeling the holiday spirit this season. What happens in Mariah Carey's 2025 It's Time video? In this year's It's Time video, Carrie dons a white gown with angel wings. Halloween slayed, but now it's she begins, only to stop herself when she discovers her bag of Sephora products has been raided. Spill the tea, who's the thief? She asks before spotting comedian Billy Eichner dressed as an elf absconding with her Sephora swag. Busted! Bad news, Mariah Carey. The elves are striking this year, Eichner's elf declares. Elf revenge for putting us through holiday hell. Santa's helper quit. I'm pawning all this so I can afford elf therapy. Carrie fires back. That's my blush, elf boy. Eichner retorts. Your lipstick? I'm taking it. Christmas is canceled. No bells, no cheer, no glam. Bye, sweetie. You can't cancel Christmas, the five-time Grammy winner insists before belting her signature line. It's time! In an instant, Eichner freezes and transforms into a snowman. Carrie then reappears in a Santa-inspired outfit, riding a sleigh as she drops a Sephora bag into a chimney. Why is Mariah Carey's It's Time video facing backlash? Some fans found Carrie's video amusing, sharing supportive messages and calling it iconic. Others, however, criticized the ad for its tone and alleged anti-worker message, especially given the current social and economic climate. So disturbingly out of touch, one person wrote in the comments section of Carrie's Instagram post. Time to boycott the folks at Sephora who thought it was funny to make fun of real struggles people are facing nationally right now. Another added, really disappointed in this ad on mocking boycotting, strikes, workers needing healthcare and mental health. TikTok users have also weighed in on the controversial commercial. One called the clip corny, saying it appears to mock working class people who have decided, you know what, I'm not fueling this economy. I'm not spending all this money on Black Friday. I'm not spending all this money on Christmas and fueling the economy when the economy is not fueling us. In a viral post, beauty influencer Jasmine Hinton argued that All I Want for Christmas Is You is arguably an anti-capitalistic anthem as Carrie sings about wanting to spend time with the people or the person that you care about the most, rather than focusing on material possessions. Yet, somehow this ad does the exact opposite, and it's a dig at consumers for boycotting all these corporations. I don't understand why they needed to do that, Hinton said. She went on to frame the ad as a reflection of current class tensions. I think it's really just rage bait. The fact that big corporations are doing this is so ridiculous. Having Mariah Carey dress up as an angel and then having the elf be the thief. This is a class warfare, and it's right in front of us. Another TikTok user echoed Hinton's sentiments in a viral post. These companies are laughing in our faces, she said. What do you mean you have the elves boycotting and they're not working? They continue, so if your goal really and truly is not to pay for anything, not buy anything this holiday season, you need to stand on that. If we sit here and still buy up all the stores this holiday season, they're going to continue laughing in our faces all the way to the bank. As of this writing, the post has nearly 90,000 likes and more than 4,500 comments. Representatives for Carrie and Sephora did not immediately respond to Entertainment Weekly's request for comment. So there you go. You can make your own decision on that controversy. Our next article, American Horror Story. This is a change from Christmas fun, but American Horror Story season 13 officially a go. Ariana Grande, Jessica Lange, and more join the cast. Season 13 is being slated for Halloween 2026. This is by Lauren Huff. Surprise, bitch! Indeed. Ryan Murphy is getting in on the Halloween spirit. On Friday, the American Horror Story mastermind unveiled the cast list for the long-awaited 13th season of the horror anthology, and it's a whopper. The social media announcement lists the cast over a recording of I'll Be Seeing You by Vera Lynn, which is set to include series favorites Sarah Paulson, Evan Peters, Angela Bassett, Kathy Bates, Emma Roberts, Billy Lord, Gaborni Sidibe, and Leslie Grossman. New to the franchise is Wicked for Good star Ariana Grande, who previously teamed up with Murphy on the horror comedy series Scream Queens. And, as the announcement teases, with a lengthy pause, Jessica Lange is making her return to the series after last being seen briefly in 2018's Apocalypse season. The two-time Oscar winner previously starred in 5 seasons of the show, beginning with the inaugural Murder House. Despite her status as a perennial fan favorite, Lange had previously intimated in the past that she had no plans to return to the American Horror Story televerse. In fact, on the red carpet earlier this year, when asked by an Irish radio station if she would be in the 13th season, Lange said, "Oh, Christ, no. I mean, I haven't done it for more than 10 years, 12 years, so no, I'm not doing it." When the reporter followed up to ask if she would do the new season if approached, she simply said no before walking away. The reel also includes a series of quick, indiscernible, and surely terrifying images and ends with Robert's iconic line from the Coven season, "Surprise, bitch! I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me." It also teases a release date of Halloween 2026. The theme for season 13 hasn't been unmasked, but prior seasons have tackled everything from a cult to a coven to aliens. Murphy usually teases out those reveals on his social media, so stay tuned for that. The American Horror Story 13 tease is a long time coming. When the next edition of American Horror Story releases, it will have been 3 years since the most recent season, Delicate, debuted. That season, which starred Kim Kardashian and Roberts, premiered in September 2023. The unnamed new season was first announced in 2020 when FX revealed the series had been renewed for seasons 11, 12, and 13. It remains unclear if the network or Murphy has plans for any seasons beyond that. Murphy and Brad Falchuk created the horror series, which first premiered in 2011 and was an instant hit with audiences and critics alike, even receiving a total of 17 Emmy Award nominations. That was American Horror Story Season 13 officially a go. Ariana Grande, Jessica Lange, and more joined the cast, and it was by Lauren Huff. Sissy Spacek is saying there's nothing sexier than Robert Pattinson and Jennifer Lawrence fighting and making up in Die, My Love. This is by Mike Miller. After starring alongside Hollywood heartthrobs like Martin Sheen, Mel Gibson, and Sam Shepard, Sissy Spacek knows a thing or two about heating up the silver screen. But according to the legendary actress, nothing holds a candle to her co-stars in this weekend's Die, My Love. "They were brilliant to watch," the Carrie star tells Entertainment Weekly of Jennifer Lawrence and Robert Pattinson. "I mean, there was nothing sexier than watching them fight and then make up. It was incredible." Spacek appears opposite the duo in Lynn Ramsey's dark dramedy as Pam, the mother of Pattinson's Jackson, who has a fiery, if turbulent, relationship with Lawrence's Grace. At the start of the film, the young couple moves from New York City to Jackson's rural hometown in the hope of finding a quieter life in the countryside. But after their child is born, Grace struggles to adjust to her new, isolated life as a stay-at-home mom. especially with Jackson often away for work. As their once passionate love life begins to deteriorate, so too does Grace's mental health, leading to explosive fights, violence, and infidelity. Spacek says it was amazing to witness Pattinson and Lawrence portray this volatile couple as their marriage comes apart. Of Lawrence, she adds, "We had such a connection. We've known each other for years, but this is the first time we've worked together. And to watch her play this character where she would be so present and taking care of Pam, there was a reversal of roles. So she'd take care of me, and then I would take care of her, and then she would take care of me, and I would take care of her. And I think that she meant everything to Pam. She was her hope for the future." While each is at a different stage in life, Grace and her mother-in-law face similar challenges. While one mother battles loneliness and postpartum depression, the other finds herself isolated and rudderless after the loss of her husband, Harry, played by Nick Nolte. Their struggles also seem to manifest in similar ways. Both women embark on long, directionless walks while holding weapons. But where Grace walks under her own free will with a knife, Pam's shotgun-toting strolls occur only in her sleep. "She didn't even know she was sleepwalking," Spacek says of her character. Asked if she's ever done so in her own life, the actress admits with a laugh, "I think I did. I woke up one night on the floor in front of the refrigerator. How did I get here? I didn't remember. I wasn't cognizant of getting there, and I don't know how I got on the floor. Hope I didn't fall." As for reuniting with Nolte, with whom she starred in 1980's Heartbeat and 1997's Affliction, Spacek says, "We just took up where we left off. He is a brilliant actor. I learned a great deal from him about the craft. He writes an entire background for every character he does. I mean, it's like volumes." She adds, "He's very, very prepared, and in Affliction, he was just so spectacular. I loved working with him every time I did. But in this one, he was always so present in that character, and it was difficult, I'm sure, because he and Jennifer were dealing with a mental illness." Taking a moment to reflect on their work in the film, Spacek says, "It's a brutal movie, but it's also a tender movie and very sexy." Die, My Love is now in theaters. That was Sissy Spacek saying there's nothing sexier than Robert Pattinson and Jennifer Lawrence fighting and making up in Die, My Love. And it was by Mike Miller. And I got a quick one here to wrap us up. George Clooney recalls his Golden Girls stint and one star in particular who made him laugh harder than anybody. This is by Lauren Huff. George Clooney is saying thank you for being a friend to his brief time on the Golden Girls. Clooney gushes about the sitcom and recalls which one of its stars in particular made him crack up in a new trailer for The Golden Girls, 40 Years of Laughter and Friendship, special edition of 2020, a People exclusive. Fellow famous faces Kelly Ripa, Cheryl Lee Ralph, Laverne Cox, and Mario Lopez also sit down in the special to discuss the show's lasting impact. "The Golden Girls," a smiling Clooney begins in the teaser, which then cuts to Ralph, who says, "Who wasn't a fan of the Golden Girls?" Starring Beatrice Arthur, Betty White, Rue McClellan, and Estelle Getty, the Golden Girls famously followed four women who share a home in Miami during their golden years. In total, the sitcom ran for 180 half-hour episodes across seven seasons on NBC from September 1985 to May 1992. It was an unequivocal success across its run. Each of the four main stars won an Emmy, and the series took home the trophy for Outstanding Comedy Series twice. Later in the clip, the stars are asked which of the Golden Girls they're most similar to, with Ralph and Clooney both choosing Arthur's character, Dorothy, who is described in the clip as the master of the look for her no-nonsense attitude. "She made me laugh harder than anybody," Clooney admits of Arthur, as the video cuts to a scene of the actor laughing on the show. Clooney guest starred in one episode of The Golden Girls during its second season in the episode titled To Catch a Neighbor. In it, he played an undercover detective who stays at the ladies' home while investigating their neighbors, who were suspected of being jewelry thieves. Clooney's remarks echo what he said about Arthur during an appearance on The Drew Barrymore Show. That was a fun show to work on, he reminisced at the time. B. Arthur is the funniest person in the world. They were all hysterically funny, but B. Arthur really made me laugh. She was filthy, filthy funny. They could get away with stuff. If those women were 30, they could have never said that sort of stuff on network television, he added. But they could do anything they wanted, and they would get away with it. It was just so much fun. The Golden Girls, 40 Years of Laughter and Friendship Special Edition of 2020, debuts Tuesday, October 11th on ABC. It will also stream the following day on Disney Plus and Hulu. That was George Clooney recalling his Golden Girls stint, and it was by Lauren Huff. So that's all the time we have for Entertainment Weekly this week. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and thank you for listening this week. I'm volunteer reader Diane Salisbury. I've been reading from Entertainment Weekly's website, which is EW.com. Please come back next week. I say that every week, and I mean it. And until then, goodbye.